big names still remaining as far as the list, as far as free agents are concerned. Alan, first of all, welcome back and looking forward to diving into this subject.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate you having me back. And you're right. I mean, there are still big names that are out there. You know, we've got a Justin Houston. We've got an Eric Berry. There are names to be had. Jordy Nelson.
Randall Cobb.
Yeah. I mean, this is a big free agency class. There's still some guys out there that can, you know, do some things for some teams. So you're right. This thing isn't over by any means.
I mean, we go back to the Tennessee Titans, you know, with the young players they have, even adding Adam Humphries to the mix. We're still talking about a young team. How would it look to bring in a Jordy Nelson or a Randall Cobb?
See, I kind of like it. Now, the big thing is going to be price. Like, that's the whole deal, not only with the Titans, but with, you know, almost every team, you know, with guys like Jordy, guys like Randall, because let's be honest, you know, even though Randall Cobb's only 28 years old, there's just a lot of wear on that body. And, you know, same thing with Jordy in terms of the tread is almost gone off the tires. But it's not completely gone. These guys still have catches in them. They still have red zone touchdowns in them. You know, and they're going to go to a team that doesn't necessarily need them to, you know, play 100% of the snaps, you know, to be running long, you know, 50-yard, you know, just deep nine routes. But, yeah, I mean, a team that can utilize them the correct way to get first downs, to get touchdowns, they're going to find a home, and they're going to find a home pretty quickly. And I'll say this. I mean, the Titans, it's not like their wide receiver group is set by any means. So if John Robinson can get one of those guys, you know, for just the right price, you know, really, a, you know, an incentive-laden type of deal, you know, one of them could be coming to Nashville.
I might look at some of these names, especially if you're a team out there trying to improve your defense and you still got some money to spend. I mean, think about, oh, I can improve it by adding an Ndamukong Suh along the defensive front. I can add Justin Houston as an outside linebacker. Also throw into that mix inside with a Clay Matthews and a Jamie Collins. I can immediately, if I have issues at linebacker, I can certainly address that just bam, just like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely you can. You know, and I know a lot of people look at Ndamukong Suh, and, you know, there are concerns there in terms of, you know, what he's done in his career. I'll tell you what there aren't concerns about. One, the guy plays. He very rarely misses games. And two, just look at that playoff run that the Rams had last year. I mean, that guy turned it up once the playoffs came, and he played really well. So, again, it's going to come down to price, but you're right. I mean, if you're a team, you know, like the Titans, where you're looking to get better defensively, and you could take one of these guys, kind of plug and play, really similar to what the Philadelphia Eagles did on their defensive line 2 years ago when they went the Super Bowl. You know, they didn't need Chris Long on every snap, right? That's why they had Derek Barnett on the line. But, you know, when you can get these guys in and they can run and play and put them in the right, you know, down and distances, these guys can do a lot of work for you. So I guarantee John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, they're not finished yet, but, you know, again, it's just going to come down to price. And if these guys can find a guy for the right price, that's really what it's all about.
You know, we look at baseball. I mean, here we are at spring training. Season starts up at the end of the month. And there's still some big free agents that are out there, like a Craig Kimbrell, for example. You know, when we look at this list of these names we're throwing out there, names that certainly if you follow the NFL, you're familiar with these names. Are we talking about the same situation where some of these guys will be out of a job until maybe injuries happen during the month of August during these exhibition games?
Well, you know, it could be, you know, because certainly, you know, teams aren't, they don't have to sign people right now, right? Like, they don't have to set the rosters. There's still the draft coming up, so that's going to play a lot into it. So, yeah, I mean, we could see some guys. You know, look at Eric Berry, right, for example. You know, I know he's taking a visit tomorrow to the Dallas Cowboys. But teams are going to do their homework on them, and they know that, you know, the market might be, you know, out there, but teams aren't necessarily, you know, lining up to do the deal right now. So, you know, we could see, you know, this play out all the way, you know, to OTAs, to training camp, you know, and even into the season. So it's going to be fun. I mean, this offseason is already just exciting as it could be, and it's going to continue that way. And let's be honest. There's a really good draft coming up with a lot of good defensive players. So if you look at guys like a Justin Houston, like an Eric Berry, if they're not signed by the draft, that price generally goes down. So I guarantee that's what a lot of teams are doing, and especially general managers are saying, you know what, if we could hold out for a month and a half, 2 months, 2.5 months, and these guys are still there, we can get them for pennies on the dollar.
Hey, your thoughts about the conversations that you had after the news broke on Friday with the Dolphins trading with the Titans and the Titans acquiring Ryan Tannehill. And, I mean, I just go back at the numbers. And, you know, you can say what you want. Might not be a big fan of this guy. But somebody who has thrown for over 20,000 yards in the NFL, has a solid quarterback rating, has a really nice touchdowns to interceptions ratio as well, especially if you take out the first 2 years. But even with those, it's still respectable. You know, I love the move. I think it's the I'm trying to recall the last time the Titans had a quarterback, a backup quarterback, especially with this kind of talent. I guess you can go back to the days when Kerry Collins took over for the Titans, you know, when he was backing up. But, you know, your thoughts about in the kind of conversations that you had, what Tannehill with the Titans means.
Yeah, it's a great deal. Excuse me. It's just an absolute steal for the Titans. And I know, you know, Ryan Tannehill, you know, doesn't get, you know, the adulation, you know, that Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady would. But this guy was a starter in the league, and he's thrown a lot of touchdown passes, and he's played in a lot of games. And for what they got him for, you know, with $7 million guaranteed and the Dolphins covering $5 million of it, with them giving up two draft picks that, you know, I'm not going to say meaningless, but it's not like they gave up a first, second, you know, third round, anything like, you know, anything really high in the first 50 to 60. And then getting one back, I mean, John Robinson did work here. He did really great work. Got a guy that not only, you know, solidifies, you know, your backup QB position, but, you know, not going to say that, you know, he's battling Marcus in terms for the starter, but that's exactly how he's going to approach it, and that's exactly what you want. So, you know, we'll see what it means for the future, but let's just be honest. You know, Marcus Mariota, he doesn't necessarily always – play 16 games in a year, so you got to think that Tannehill's probably going to start at least one of them. And look at last year. You know, if Tannehill were on this team last year, did they beat the Colts? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? But just a great deal overall. And for the numbers, for what it speaks for, the Dolphins were ready to make a deal, and the Titans pounced on it at exactly the right time.
You know, I had this conversation with Joe Rexroad last hour, and, you know, he was talking about the locker room liking Marcus Mariota, and I said, well, the locker room in Alabama liked Jalen Hurts until Tua Tagovailoa started, you know, showing his talent, and how quickly did that change? And Nick Saban addressed that, talked about how sometimes, you know, the players dictate who the leader is in that situation, especially, and it was like a no-brainer with regards to Tua over Jalen. I mean, they both brought special things to the table, but there wasn't really no doubt who was the better of the two QBs. We don't know what Ryan Tannehill will mean in that locker room once he arrives. We don't know how the players will respond to him. Only thing I do know is you just look back, just take the last 4 years, you know, 87 touchdowns with only 45 interceptions and 13,000 plus passing yards in these 4 years. And if he's able to do that in games, and you know, if he's able to do it in games, I'm sure he'll be able to show some of that talent as far as in practice. And if the biggest thing for me is consistency. If he can show consistency, if you want to win over your teammates, that's the way to do it. If you look at somebody, especially from an offensive standpoint, if you're looking at somebody who's not being consistent.
Oh no, yeah, I mean, you're right, and I truly believe that. You know, you can't pick and choose who your leader is going to be. The people around them, you know, choose, you know, organically. That's the best way to go about it. And Marcus is still the quarterback. But, you know, take a look at this. Everyone, you know, on the Ravens 2-3 years ago, they all have a Super Bowl ring. And guess what? Joe Flacco's gone. He's in Denver. And this guy was benched last year, you know, for a rookie quarterback in Lamar Jackson. And I know it's not the same situation. However, it speaks to your point of, you know, things can change quickly, and it doesn't take long, especially in the NFL. Any place changes fast as the NFL. So, you know, we'll see. But again, you know, for the price, for the money, for the trade assets, you know, the draft assets that they traded away, this is a win-win because, you know, say Marcus goes out next year and just doesn't have a good year and it's time for the Titans to move on, and say Ryan Tannehill is not the guy either. Well, you know what? Not really going to cost the Titans anything to move on from both of them and go to the draft and find a quarterback. So this is really a win-win all around for John Robinson and the Titans. It was a great move, and all we can do is just sit back and watch. But I'll tell you this. I know Ryan Tannehill is going to show up. He's going to be early. He's going to work out. He's going to eat right. He's going to handle himself correctly. He's not going to get in trouble. And this guy is going to show up to practice every single day and work and try to get every single rep that he can. This is a starter in the National Football League. Like, this is a guy who goes about his job professionally, and he's going to do that here in Nashville. So, you know, not that Marcus is a guy that, you know, that is lax and doesn't work, because he's going to do the exact same thing. But he's going to have somebody on his heels, and he's going to have to work even harder, you know, to keep his job and keep these things going, because the Titans are here to win, and that's it. Not to, you know, placate anybody's, you know, feelings or anything like that. The Titans here to win. And whoever does that the best is going to be on the field playing.
Well, and the other part of it, too, more passing yards by Tannehill in the last 4 years than Marcus. More touchdown passes. And, oh, by the way, remember the thing that Marcus always seems to get a pass on? A different coordinator every year, different head coaches. Ryan Tannehill had to deal with the same thing. So so you can't use that as an excuse anymore either.
Nope. I mean, you're right. I mean, Ryan Tannehill, he's not the greatest quarterback in the league, but he is far, far, far from the worst. This is a solid starting NFL quarterback, so it was just a smart move all around.
Other things that have stood out for you after the first week, and now that the smoke has cleared a little bit, you know, who was the big winner? Maybe it's more than one team, or, I mean, from your standpoint, who were the big winners last week?
You know, I thought the Baltimore Ravens did really well, not only getting Earl Thomas at safety, but picking up Mark Ingram as well, especially for what they got him for, $15 million total. I know we don't value the running back position as high as we used to. However, the Ravens got better. And let's be honest, you know, when you pair Mark Ingram in that backfield with Lamar Jackson, you've essentially got two running backs and a guy that can throw. So they're going to build the offense around Lamar this year, which they didn't get to last year. This is going to be a pretty potent offense. So we'll see. I thought they did really well. I thought the Kansas City Chiefs, all things considered, not having any money, knowing that Eric Berry had to go, knowing that Justin Houston had to go, and D Ford, you know, that a trade made sense for him. I thought they did really well, you know, too. Plus, the other side of that, the San Francisco 49ers, getting D Ford, getting Quan Alexander, I thought they did really well. We'll see what they do in the draft if they go defensive line with Bosa. But they've got that number two pick sitting right there. And if the Cardinals go quarterback, you know, they're really sitting shotgun on this thing and can do a whole lot of things. So I thought it was just a really good, you know, free agency all around. There really weren't any teams that just completely puzzled me. The only one that did, to be honest with you, was the Indianapolis Colts.
I was going
to
bring them up.
Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, not really doing anything.
You know what that reminds me? I tell you what, the Colts remind me of when Jeff Fisher was head coach of the Titans, just finding ways to win a football game by three instead of finding ways to improve the team where you're never having to come down to a field goal attempt. That's what Indianapolis, because of their lack of activity, knowing how much money they had at their disposal, you know, above the salary cap, Indianapolis had the opportunity just to blow everybody. You know how the Yankees, when they need an outfielder, they don't just get one back because they could spend money. They would get three, and then the best guy would be your starter. And that would be Indianapolis had that opportunity just to really take full control of the AFC South. Instead, I think we got a four-team race this year.
Yeah, we really do. I mean, I'm with you. They completely surprised me. I get that. You know, Ballard wants to build that team through the draft, and rightfully so. You know, they did work last year in the draft. The first and second round picks obviously turned out to be studs, and, you know, this team's going to go places. However, you know, they still need help. They need help at the wide receiver position, so we'll see what they do in the draft. But yeah, I mean, AFC South really is a four-team race. All four of these teams can play. I thought the Jaguars, getting Nick Foles, I know that, you know, we all knew that was the place where he was going to go. But they don't really need Nick Foles to do a whole lot. They just need just a calming veteran adult presence in that locker room to honestly tell people to just shut up, get out on the field, let's play. I'm going to score a touchdown. I'm going to hand you the ball 30 times and relax, and we're going to win this game because they've got the defense to do it. So Jacksonville has the biggest chance to go, you know, from what they did last year to improving this year. And you're right, you know, with Indy and then, you know, look at Houston. Houston still has, you know, a great offense with Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney are still there. You know, that's a good team, too. So, yeah, the AFC South is going to be really difficult again. It's going to be a four-team race.
Well, now that the Titans have added Ryan Tannehill, a former starter in the NFL, and so now he's gone from former starter to somebody we expect to be part-time starter at the worst-case scenario, rank the top five quarterbacks in the AFC South as of today.
Right, as of today. All right, one, Andrew Luck.
Right.
What he did last year was fantastic. Two, I'm going to go Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
Just based off his talent and skill. Three, I'm going to go Nick Foles.
Yep.
Four, I'm going to go Marcus Mariota, just based off of him being with the team, being comfortable. And five, I'll go Hill. And we'll see how close Marcus and Ryan really are, only because, you know, Ryan's going to a completely new situation with wide receivers he's never worked for. But, yeah, that's how I would rank the top five. How do you got it?
That's where I have it right now, and I'm very interested to see what Tannehill means to this team. Just the capability of being able to, just by example, to show. Remember, in a uncomfortable situation with the Dolphins over the years, still able to produce some good numbers. You wonder what that's going to be like for, you know, a change of environment and change of atmosphere, and what that would mean for Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, it could be really nice. And especially, you know, look at this team. Look at John Robinson. He's a young general manager in the league. He gets along with players. He's visible to players. He's out at practice. He's in the locker room. These guys know him. You know, he talks with them every day. So it's not like, you know, he's in his own office, in his own world, not, you know, not with the team. You look at Mike Vrabel. Obviously, this is a guy that played in the league for a long time, had a lot of success. Players love him. They love playing for him. And this could be perfect. I mean, this could be exactly what Ryan Tannehill wants at a chance, you know, to kind of, you know, prove himself once again. And let's be honest, like, look at the Titans offense. The Titans offense is going to be built around Derrick Henry. If we see what Derrick Henry did towards the second half of the season last year, I mean, he is the focal point of the offense. So if you can get a quarterback like Tannehill in here who, you know, steps in there, you know, knows how to get, you know, the line set, you know, look at defenses, read defenses, you know, change around play calls if need be, and not only, you know, get the ball in Derrick Henry's hands, but move the ball down the field with the wide receivers, you know, using Derrick Henry as a play fake, right? Like, that's all that this team really needs. Not saying that Marcus can't do it, but if they could just get consistency doing that, that's how Ryan Tannehill takes this job over, and that's how Ryan Tannehill gets a new contract as the quarterback moving forward. So it's not like the Titans need, you know, a huge overhaul, anything like that. They just need to add a couple pieces and really just figure out what Arthur Smith's offense is going to be and how to get the ball in wide receivers' hands who aren't necessarily, you know, all number one stars in the league, but guys that can play, guys that can catch. And you're going to get Delanie Walker back too. So, yeah, it's going to be really fun and exciting to see how this team builds through the draft, OTAs, training camp, leading into the preseason.
I mean, here's the thing. Jarrell Casey not being able to play against the Colts, he gets a pass, you know, from the eyes and whether from the coaching staff or whatever. You know, same thing with Delanie Walker out the entire year. My question is, you know, it's football. How much of a pass did Marcus Mariota get as far as in the mindset of these coaches in the front office? And so this is where I'm going with, you know, the fact that there's no Blaine Gabbert. I mean, if everybody was comfortable with what happened the way last season played out, then we wouldn't have had Ryan Tannehill being traded to the Titans last week. Blaine Gabbert would still be the backup QB for the Titans. You know, I don't know where we are as far as, you know, look, the coaches are more loyal to wins than any particular player. You know, it's football. It's a business. And so when everybody that's all like, well, it's still Marcus's team, no, not really. You know, the players only have, I mean, with the Patriots, that's Tom Brady's team, all right? But the bottom line is it's still a business. And, I mean, so I don't know where that comfort level is.
Oh, hey, you bring up a great point right there. I mean, this is not Marcus's team. This is John Robinson's team. This is Mike Vrabel's team, right? And they're going to do whatever they have to do to win because, you know, understand this. Like, they all love Marcus. Everybody does. Everybody in the city does, and they should. He's a good guy. He's given his all. You know, we don't know how good his all is, but he's done it. He's given his all. But you know what? At the end of the day, John Robinson knows and Mike Vrabel knows that if they don't put up wins and get in the playoffs, they're going to be at home. Like, people get fired for, you know, for not making decisions, right? So they know that this is their team. So, you know, it's Marcus's team right now, and it's Marcus's team until it's not Marcus's team because Marcus doesn't make the decisions around here. So, you know, again, we'll see, you know, and it's nothing against Marcus, but I think, you know, Titans fans everywhere across the city and across the state You know, number one is winning. That's what they want to do. They want to win. Now, if it comes with Marcus, great. That's awesome. Everybody loves it. But if it comes, you know, in the hands of someone else, then, well, you know what? Sorry. Somebody was better, and this team has to win. So, yeah, I think everyone there knows it. And I think, you know, you brought up a good point right there in terms of them making a move for Tannehill. Not that it's firing a shot at Marcus Mariota, but it's letting everyone know, hey, we're here to win, and we're going to get the best players that we can in here. And if it's your position, you better step up. You better start playing, because if we can, you know, get somebody at the quarterback position, we can get somebody at any position. So I think everybody knows that, and everybody's going to, you know, when they show up the first day and the first workouts, you know, after the draft, everybody's going to show up ready to work because they know what's on the line.
I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, he in the first 2 years, he appeared in, what, 11 games with the Patriots, no starts, but it was no big deal. He wasn't a threat. It wasn't until year three when he started two games, appeared in six, passed for over 500 yards, had a quarterback rating of 113. That's when Tom Brady got a little uncomfortable. And it's like, okay, something has to give here, so trade him. I don't want him here. And bam, now San Francisco has the love for Jimmy Garoppolo.
You're right, man. I mean, if Tom Brady can get nervous and want somebody traded, that's big. And let's also remember, Peyton Manning was cut from Indianapolis. And I always say this, if Peyton Manning can get cut in the NFL, not saying it was the right or wrong decision, but if Peyton Manning can get cut, anybody can get cut in the NFL.